MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Monday, June 10, 2024, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. Gloucester residents set to weigh in on the MBTA zoning plan for the city. Swampscott residents saving money while going green. And traffic enforcement a priority for the Lynn Police.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, the Celtics did it. They win game two, and we have some notes on some high school teams headed to Final Fours this week. Rick?
Okay, thanks, Bill. Sunny, 70s today, high tide Gloucester Harbor, 3:08 p.m. Gloucester City Hall will be hosting a public hearing Wednesday night on the MBTA Section 3A law that requires MBTA communities to come up with one or more zoning districts within a half mile of a transit station. Ethan Foreman reports in today's Gloucester Times that city leaders heard from consultants last week who presented options for the city to build additional multifamily structures. Wednesday's public hearing will begin at 6 p.m. at City Hall. Homeowners across the North Shore are always seeking ways to save on their energy bills, and the town of Swampscott has a program in place to make that happen. This is Town Administrator Sean Fitzgerald.
Town will be moving forward with our community power options. Just wanted to let folks know that the town has been one of the first communities in Massachusetts to aggregate our community power. 70-plus percent of our residents and businesses subscribe to community power as an alternative to national grids. Basic service, this is a program that really helps Swampscott be cleaner and greener and be a leader when it comes to environmental stewardship. So really proud about this. We've saved over $7 million in aggregate as a community. This is something that it's hard for people to really feel or see, but if you subscribe to National Grid, you would be paying peak rates during times where we actually have a very steady rate, and that's a really great thing about Swampscott. So,
Swampscott is one of 50 Massachusetts communities that subscribes to Community Power. Fitzgerald was speaking at last week's select board meeting. Beverly has a new park thanks to the trustees of reservations. Paul Layton recently wrote in the Salem News that the 66-acre Moraine Farm property was purchased by the trustees 2 years ago, and now the park is open to the public. The property near Beverly Airport can be accessed through an entrance at 779 Cabot Street in Beverly. Officials in Lynn continue to work on their FY 2025 budget. Last week, Lynn Police Chief Christopher Reddy presented to the City Council Budget Committee that the Lynn Police staffing levels are in better shape now in 2024 than they were a year ago.
However, I'm happy to say that currently our staffing level, including Academy recruits, is at 191. We have additional recruit officers scheduled to attend the next available Academy in September as well. In the past year, we did significant work in the area of recruitment, and as a result, participation locally within Lynn, participation in the police officer entrance exam rose by 50%. And we hope that that will result in further gains in hiring in the coming year. I'm also hopeful that during the FY25 year, the anticipated increase in staffing levels will enable us to assign additional personnel in the areas of need, such as traffic enforcement, investigations, community outreach and engagement, school resource officer positions, and more.
Chief Reddy was asked by City Councilor Brian Field about complaints he receives around traffic enforcement issues in Lynn.
It's not only the number one complaint you get, it's the number one complaint we get, believe it or not. And it's everything from side streets being used as what people perceive as cut-throughs to really highly trafficked streets where there are speeding or congestion or improper turning and a whole range of issues. Traffic is a priority of ours. We would like to beef up the traffic enforcement unit and have more targeted patrols, but all of our patrol division personnel are expected to engage in traffic enforcement as part of their daily operations as well. So we do inform our officers of various complaints and hotspot areas as on a regular basis through roll call. And then we seek additional grant funding through the state has a grant program for traffic enforcement that we use regularly for additional patrols. And where we can afford it, we also increase traffic enforcement there as well. But increasing the staffing there is absolutely a priority.
That's Lynn Police Chief Christopher Reddy. The Lynn City Council will hold a budget hearing tomorrow night, and later in North Shore Today Extra, we will present a big-picture budget overview from Lynn's Chief Financial Officer, Michael Bertino, with extended audio from LynnTV.org. And Lynn will be holding a Juneteenth flag-raising ceremony tomorrow evening at City Hall beginning at 6 p.m. Juneteenth, the federal holiday, takes place on June 19th. Sports next with Bill Newell, followed by North Shore Today Extra.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics beat the Dallas Mavericks last night 105-98 to go up in the NBA Championship Series 2-0. Game 3 is Wednesday night in Dallas. The Red Sox beat the White Sox yesterday in Chicago. The Sox return home tomorrow night to play host to the Phillies. Several local baseball teams have reached the Final Four in the MIAA tournament. In D3, St. Mary's will take on Tantasqua tomorrow at 4 at La Lasher Park in Lowell. In D4, Salem will meet Seekonk tomorrow at 4 at BC High. And in D5, Georgetown will take on Pioneer Valley tomorrow night at Fitton Field at Holy Cross at 7 o'clock. In high school softball, Marblehead has reached the Final Four. They will take on Westfield tomorrow at 3 at Worcester State. And in D5, Georgetown meets Tohonto Regional tomorrow at UMass Lowell at 3 o'clock. We have sports posts up on our website with details of the remaining North Shore teams in baseball, softball, lacrosse, and tennis. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. We hope you have a great Monday. North Shore Today Extra is next.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan. This is North Shore Today Extra, and in today's feature, we're going to run some extended audio with some understanding, not just for the city of Lynn and Lynn residents, but everybody may want to be able to listen to this and learn a bit more about the budget process, how Lynn has been dealing with their budget process. This was a budget subcommittee meeting that you'll be listening to from last week. They'll be meeting as a council on a whole tomorrow night to vote on the city budget, or at least have a public hearing and move close to a vote. That's tomorrow night at the Lynn City Council meeting. So on that note, we turn it over to Lynn City Councilor at Large Brian LaPierre, Chair of the Budget Subcommittee for the Lynn City Council. And you'll hear from the CFO of the City of Lynn, Michael Bertino.
Because we have so many new councilors this year, I wanted to give an expanded overview of how the budget process works. Generally, each year in January, the governor puts out her budget. Last year, she didn't have to do it until March because it was her first term, so she was given a 3-month. So we always try to have departments have everything submitted to us as close to the January date as possible, because that will allow us to match up the governor's numbers with the numbers we have. But because this year was a little bit different, there was talk of revenue shortages almost from day one on the governor's side. We actually listened in on their conference committee call in December, and that was December 4th, where the House, the Senate, and the governor's office get together and they agree on consensus numbers for the fiscal 25 budget. So we listened in to those numbers, and then we put budget instructions together. We give those budget instructions out to all the departments and have them use that as a tool to create their submittals to the city. The reason we do that is because we don't want people, especially this year, because it was a very tight year, we don't want them to be asking for things that, you know, a whole new division or a whole new shift of people, because deep down, we have an idea of what the revenues are going to be. So we want people to be somewhat realistic about their budget submittals. So when we look at them, we're not taking out the red pen. We're supporting them. We're developing ideas on how we can help them achieve their budgets. So that process happens in January. We take the governor's numbers, plug them in. We start with individual budget meetings with the mayor, a few people from the comptroller's office, and myself. We go through the process. This year, we came up with the structural deficit. It's a little bit tighter. Obviously, inflation is hurting everybody. So we put those numbers together. We actually had to reach back out one more time because the deficit was large enough that we needed some support from departments to, you know, reduce the deficit. So with the combination of memos we received from department heads, small increases in fees across the board for departments that are allowed to charge fees, as well as not filling in some legacy positions on the city side, we were able to submit a balanced budget. So tonight, everybody is going to submit here their budget. They're going to talk about the goals and objectives and what they hope to accomplish in fiscal year 25. As far as my budget goes, my budget is mostly personnel. I reduced several of my line items to help support the effort to reduce the deficit. So we did that, and most of my line items reduced were for items that help run the office: paper, toner, you know, folders for the budget, just small items, but the rest of it is made up of personnel. There's a few departments that aren't going to be here tonight, so you'll, if you have questions for me now, I'll answer them now. But those departments that I'll be speaking on their behalf because they couldn't make it for one reason or other, I'll speak on their behalf as well. But for the most part, you know, my budget has contractual increases and a small amount of money for office supplies and things of that nature. You know, my primary role is to monitor and control the budget and to advise the mayor on any and all financial decisions. And we'll be able to accomplish that and continue to move forward as we have done the past 5 years.
Excellent. Thank you, CFO Bertino. Any overview questions for CFO Bertino at this time? I do want to recognize Council McLean has just joined us, as well as colleagues who may not be part of the subcommittee on the budget, but are here to listen and ask questions as well. Councilor Meany, Councilor Alangsung, Councilor Nett, and Councilor Meji Madri. So thank you to my colleagues for joining us. Do you have any questions for Mr. Bertino at this time? As he said, he will be coming back up to make other presentations later on in the evening. Yes, Councilor Alangsung.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike, thank you for the overview. We've reviewed the budget thoroughly for this past few weeks. Just very interesting question about our budget last year, which is $488 million, and budget this year is $488 million, and next year is $517 million. That's $29 million more. What has changed?
For the increase in the revenue?
Right.
Most of the increase in the revenue comes in the form of Chapter 70, and that is the primary source of funds for the school department. So the school department, we're still, I believe we're in the fifth year of the Student Opportunity Act, which has provided a substantial increase for the Lynn Public Schools for the last 5 years. This is actually the smallest increase that we've seen in 5 years, but it was still just under 20 million. I think it was like 18.8 million in new Chapter 70 money, we raise about $5.5 million in taxation and another $1.5 million or so of local receipts. So that's the increase. We also had, we're in the final year of a contractual increase of 3.5%. So that's also reflected in here as well.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Alanson. Councilor Field.
Thank you, Chairman Lapierre. Mike, just to piggyback on that question, as far as the Chapter 70, is the new millionaire's tax figured into that Chapter 70 funding, or is that going to be something completely separate from the state?
Based on the revenues, I would say they're using some of that money because revenues projections were down 7 out of 8 months. So if projections are down and we're getting, you know, close to $19 million in extra money, I can't see how they couldn't use that money to fill the gap.
All right. So it filters in through Chapter 70.
Right. I think that, you know, they have a goal where we receive additional Student Opportunity Act money and then the minimum presentation for schools that are already at their foundation budget would be anywhere between $30 to $60 per student, depending upon what final budget gets signed. Because our budget is based on the governor's budget. It's now in conference committee, and they'll come up with somewhere in between the House, the Senate, and the governor's budget. And then we'll actually rebalance one more time. So I'm not sure if they were giving the minimum of 60, or that will be somewhere in between 30 and 60. But we are at a much higher level because of the Student Opportunity Act.
I actually know the House approved up to 104, and then the Senate came back with 110 per pupil, so $6 more. But as you said, it's now in conference committee, but we're at least going to see probably $110, which could be about $400,000 more for the LPS.
And that's tax or just total check?
That's just total formula and per pupil expenditure coming out of the House and Senate conversions.
Okay. And then to piggyback that question, as far as like roads and stuff, do we see any increase on Chapter 90 from the millionaire's tax? Is that just...
I don't believe we did. I believe that we received just over $1.5 million, which is basically our annual contribution that we received from Chapter 90.
So we haven't seen an increase because of that tax that was approved?
Correct.
His last election.
I thought there was something we approved a few months ago for supplemental, but I could be mistaken.
Yeah.
It might have been about a little over a $500,000, I thought. But
Okay. Again,
it might have ran through the Ways and Means Committee and is now being used for extra street paving in the fall and so forth or summer.
Yeah.
But I thought a chunk came through from that.
But that was part of a supplemental, which was part of fiscal year 2024.
So that, I think that's what my question is. Are we going to see supplementals like that for education and road construction, or is that going to be snuck in through Chapter 70 and Chapter 90?
I think it'll probably hold them to their original commitment. When they talk about infrastructure, transportation, I don't believe roads was involved in that. I believe it was more of public transportation, the T, the tunnels and bridges.
Right, yeah, it was kind of presented at the vote as infrastructure, so I just kind of thought it would cover everything.
I think we are going to see more of it. They had just estimated that it's over the $1.8 billion they anticipated for the year with a month to go, so that could climb as high as $2 billion in terms of millionaire's tax, so it will trickle back to the cities and towns accordingly, I think, during the next... After July 1.
I think with it being so new for us to oversee, like we're looking at it in our first budget cycle since, you know, rather than the state kind of separating revenues from Chapter 70 and Chapter 90 and increasing these additional revenue stream into that, and they're appropriating the money that would have originally gone into Chapter 70 and 90. So I just want to kind of see how the state's doing it and if you're seeing anything different. But, you know, the Chairman Lapierre made a point that we did appropriate a part.
I thought we did, too. I'm not sure.
I just want to know, like, how you're seeing it as far as the state levels go. Because we should be getting more, obviously.
Right, but I think that with the revenues down, they're keeping everybody whole and they're keeping their original promises. That's the way I see it. They're keeping what they planned on doing. The extra, because of the downturn in revenue, I don't think it's the money is there.
Okay, makes sense. Thank you.
You have been listening to a budget presentation last week at the Lynn City Council. They'll be voting tomorrow night on the budget and having more of a public hearing tomorrow night as well for the council at the whole.
But again, that's Michael Bertino, the CFO of the city of Lynn, along with the city councilor at large, Brian Lapierre, chairing that city council budget committee hearing. This is MSONewsSports.com.